This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at Reach 2019, held on March 22 and 23, 2019, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Good morning and welcome to each one of you ladies. It is a joy to have you come and sit in my session this morning. Before I start, during my time of preparing or trying to sit and get my session together, I'd often start with singing Be Still, My... Renaissance song is left me. I am sorry, just complete mind blank. And that was one song. The other one is Lord, I Lift Your Name on High. So let's sing that song. It often started just sing that, just trying to open my heart. Lord, what do you have for me to sing? So how about you stand up? And we'll start by singing Lord, I Lift Your Name on High.
Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord,
thank you. You may be seated. As Kristen mentioned, I've been, my husband and I have been serving with Northern Youth Programs for a little over 12 and a half years. And my roles have changed a lot throughout the years. And so when I was thinking about this topic, the invisible woman, it was a struggle for me to know what to share and how to share. And just, what was it, 2 weeks ago, my husband and I were driving down the road. You know how we as women are emotional. And I was like, honey, it's 2 weeks away and I still don't know what to say. And so as on our conversation, I had lots of thoughts, but they were a jumble mess. And I looked back and that's how my life felt over the last several months. And I said, can you please give me 5 points somewhere to start? And so he gave me 5 points, which I'll share them with you throughout the morning. And it was amazing because as he said them, I was like, that's what I've been thinking about. That's what I've been struggling through and trying to learn and trying to apply to my life. And so, you know, like we said earlier, there was a time where I felt invisible to maybe our staff team or even in my family sometimes, just struggling, like, what is my purpose? What is my role? Do I have a role? And so it has just been something that I've been working through, the feeling of being invisible. There's times where people don't know or understand what we're going through, and that's okay because we as people don't even understand what we're going through. I'm sure you have felt that at times, right? Not knowing. Even though this has been a difficult topic, it's been very close to my heart, and I'm excited about sharing it with you this morning. And thankful for my husband, who's been my biggest support during this time. So as you see, my title is The Invisible Woman. I'm not sure, can you see that okay from the back? Would it help to turn lights off? I don't know what the lights will do. We should maybe check for that earlier. Oh, I'll sit in the dark. Well, we'll just go like this. You do have notes there, and the power, what's on the screen is on your paper, so you're welcome to write notes as we go. So the invisible woman, don't get significance confused with recognition. What is significance and what is recognition? And as a woman created by God, I have significance. I have a very important role, even though it feels like I'm invisible to the team, I really am not. As a woman, as people, we want to be praised and recognized by what we do, whether we're part of a staff team or if we're at home as a mom. That's what we long to be recognized. And that's not all a bad thing. There's times where we need words of encouragement or a pat on the back to help you take that next step. And it's important to be able to receive that from other ladies, and it's important as ladies to give that to other women as we go through life. But it's important to make sure that's not what we need to be significant. It's okay to be recognized, but we don't want to be recognized to be significant. I've been reading through a book. It's called The Invisible Woman by Nicole Johnson. Are any of you familiar with this book? I recommend it to all you ladies. It's just been it's a good book to read. It's going back to recognition versus significance. There's one quote in there that really stepped on my toes. It says, receiving the credit for every accomplishment becomes the basis for their, referring to women, their identity, and it's a form of idolatry. Ouch. That can be hard to take, but sometimes our deepest longing of wanting an identity or a worth that my heart longs for will never be found in people. We need to go to the Lord for that. And not be reaching out for other people for praise and recognition. So like I said, it's been a season of learning and digging and dragging myself through to find a new purpose in life with the seasons that we've gone through at Northern Youth Programs. So here, moving on, are some of the important things I've learned that Norm and I have talked about these last several months and just putting them together. One important role that all ladies have, there's things that ladies can do that men can't. God made us women and he made them men and we are different. A big role is understanding other women on your team. They have emotional needs that men don't understand. For those of us who are married, sometimes I wonder why Norm doesn't understand. I think it's in him to not understand, and that's why we need women around us. We understand each other in ways that men can't. We need to be sensitive and aware of the issues that are happening among our staff team. That can bring just focus and balance to Norm. Let's say there's an issue going on and something needs to happen, and it's a group of women, Norm might not understand what's really going on because of the emotions involved. And so for me, being able to bring balance and intuition to the situation helps him to bring focus to what he needs to deal with. And that's an important role that we as ladies can do. With that intuition, and I'll talk with that later, we need to find a balance between that and compassion as situations arise. I struggle with compassion. I feel like intuition is a gift, and I'll get to that. But the two need to balance each other because it can be put our husbands in a tight spot for them as well. The next one, creating the atmosphere. This has been a very difficult one for me to understand. Norm just says you just have to be there just because. And well, what is just because? I don't get it. And so we were talking about that. He said, you know, some days when I'm gone after school and he's at home and the girls come, the first thing they do, they come in the door. Where's mom? When's she coming home? What time is she going to be here? When I'm at home and Norm is gone, the girls are like, what's for snack tonight? What can we eat? Now, they love their dad. He's very important in their life. But there's something there that a woman can do, a mom can do, that a man can't. And no matter whether you're married with children or not, you are in situations where your presence is important. You create the atmosphere. Norm says it's like the salt on a potato or ketchup on a hot dog. So it's an important part of the atmosphere that you create. Again, whether it's your staff team or at home, either one is important. Influencing other women appropriately, and again, a man can't and is not able to do this. I'd like to look at Titus 2 and wondering if a volunteer from the front row would like to read this. Can you read? Do you want to read it, Bev? Sure.
Age women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine. Teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed.
Thanks, Bev. So as we work with other ladies on our team, what are some appropriate ways that we can influence them? And I'd like to open this up for a little discussion. Maybe examples on ways that you have influenced women. And I find it's important. I was thinking about this, the stage of life where I'm in. I love to have older ladies that I can go to and sit down and talk with. That's so important to me. But I'm starting to recognize that I have younger ladies on our staff team that I need to be open and available for them as well. That's an important role, and it talks about that in Titus, just being willing to lead and teach and to teach the younger women. But it's still important for us to be open to older women. So it works. It's a two-way thing there. What are some ways that you have lived this out as maybe in your home or on a staff team? What are some examples? Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Let's speak loud. Even so.
Mm-hmm. Just being open, I find that the ladies younger than me tend to have good ideals they struggle with it from their lives. They're just real. Mm-hmm. And if we're open with what's real in our lives, they can.
It's true. Yeah. Being open and being real with where you are. That makes me think of a conversation I had with a friend yesterday. I was telling her how, you know, 10 years ago I looked at ladies who were 40 and their life was so put together and they just had everything in order. And I'm like, what did I miss? So I think it's your by being open. We really don't have it all together. It might appear like that to some people. But we all struggle, right, ladies? We all have our times. And being willing to be open is very important. Yeah. Anything else? Writing notes of encouragement.
I think your enthusiasm. My husband and I shared a vision for what we were doing. And we're both enthused about it. Our hearts were engaged in it.
That's true. Keeping your focus and both of you working towards the same goal. Right? That's important. And there's seasons of time where that's difficult to do. I know through the last year or two, it felt like maybe a bit of our story. So when we first went there, a lot of the work that Norm did, I did with him. We worked together as a team. We just did. That's just how we worked. And recently he became the director and a lot of his roles had to change so he could do what he needed to do. And that did not involve teamwork from me. It involved teamwork from the other men on the staff team, which is very important and it needs to happen. But through that transition, it felt like he had one goal and I just was over here trying to figure out how to get over here. And honestly, I wasn't quite sure I even wanted to head the same direction. I don't like to say that. That's where I was. Trying to stay on the same ship with him is difficult at times, but it's so important. And that's why this topic this morning has been good for me, because I feel like it's still difficult and I still have a lot to learn, but just to look back and see what I have learned and that there is really a part on the team, a spot on the team for me. There. Next part, keeping the home, the most important. Sometimes as a wife of a leader, we don't have a role in the ministry. I don't have a job. I don't need to go to the office every day, and I'm thankful for that. But learning that the most important role for me is to keep my home has been difficult. I enjoy it. I'm happy to be a wife and a mom. But I enjoy people, and I enjoy being involved. So this has been a really important topic that I've been learning. It's the importance of making our house a home. We want a peaceful spot, a restful place for our husbands to come home to at the end of the day. And that's important for them as they go about their duties. One other thing I had to really work on, what is my focus? What do I need to focus on? And we had brought that up earlier. What are my priorities? What are some priorities that I need to keep my focus on? And for me, obviously, God is first. I need to serve God first and then be a wife and a mother, and then comes ministry. And I think for each one of us, that order is really important in our calling to life. God first, then a wife, mother, and then ministry as we have time. And again, that will change as we go through life. When my girls were younger, I had more time to interact and sit and talk. And now it feels like all my energy is going into my older daughters. And sometimes I just want to have energy to sit with some of the single ladies and listen and talk. And so I'm needing to learn that I need to be available for my girls first and then the other ladies on the staff team. And that has been an adjustment for me. But it's a good thing to learn. Another really important thing, and this is another just reality to what God's call and God's role for women is, in 1 Timothy, it talks about men being leaders of the church, the deacons and the bishops. And I'm going to apply leaders of organizations. As women, our actions and reactions do apply to qualifying or disqualifying our husbands. And that's a really heavy responsibility from the Lord. And we can take it as heavy, or we can recognize it. It's a battle of women. I think women tend to struggle with control and wanting power, and I am part of this as well. But being aware that it is important for our men that we are willing to stand behind and support, not to drag them down and pull them behind. So that can be a pretty important thing to remember as we go through our struggles. There's been times where I felt like I was frustrated with the situation, and it felt like I could continue to kind of blow off to Norm about what's going on. But recognizing that only affects his thought pattern, and I really need to be careful of what I say and how I respond. And that's very important for us to do. Because, again, our emotions are so a part of us, and it's hard to separate emotion from reality. It's difficult to do. This is also a part of my journey where feeling invisible on the staff team is real. So I am busy at home with my family and with Norm. Do I have a place in the ministry? Do I have a purpose on the staff team? What is my significance? Am I being recognized? Do I need to be recognized? And does this mean doing nothing? Think through those. I'm not sure where you ladies all are in your life, but how does that apply to you? It feels often like the answer is no. I have no place in ministry. I have no purpose on the team. But that is so not true. Each one of you ladies has a purpose where God has put you. There is something there for you to do because he has set you there. Even when it feels like we want to be invisible, or like we are invisible and not a part of, we are. It is important for us to not have lots of other responsibilities. I do help out with different things, different events at camp throughout the summer. My husband and I head up the PWTC program, which involves sending teams up north. I help out with that, and I enjoy it. And we do a single mom's retreat every year in December, and I head that one up. And those have been my two things that I try to focus on. And outside of that, I would love to jump in and help, but I need to go back again to my priorities. Does it really fit into where I am today? Another lady has helped me to always ask the question, not always, but to think about the question, if I'm saying yes to this event, what am I saying no to? And most often it comes back, I'm saying no either to my husband or my girls. And so that's been a big thing for me, just to focus on what is my purpose, what is my priorities? Because ultimately we do want to be there for our husbands and for our children. Biblical example, as I was going through these topics, I was thinking several different Bible characters would pop up to my mind. I tried to attach one to each example. And this one, I was thinking of Moses wives. I just found out I think he had at least three wives, because it talks about three of his fathers-in-law. And I didn't realize that. So three wives and his sister. And when you look at Moses' wives, we don't know much about them. I actually don't. Maybe there's one name that I can't remember the name even. What kept Moses going in this bizarre, what kept him going through this fight with the Egyptians? What was standing behind him? We don't know, but something kept him going. And then Miriam, we know the story of Miriam. She started to complain and say that she will take it on, and she has better ideas and she has bigger ideas. What happened with Miriam? She ended up with leprosy. And that was really another thing that stepped on my toes. Just the reality that as women, we do have a way that we do influence the men that we are in our lives or that we work for. It's real. It's important to recognize that. Moving on to the next one. Believing in our husbands. He faces challenges beyond his control. Our emotions are entangled. We can't see the big picture. Sometimes we feel like Miriam, like we have a quick fix to the problem. We can quickly do it a different way. Or another way is better than his idea. And yet, that's not what our men need from us. Norm said, when I believe in him without understanding him, it triples his capacity to be able to deal with what he is needing to deal with. And that was really shocking for me to hear. It's our role is to be supporting our husbands and to be there. Again, we feel invisible to the people around us, but I guess we're invisible behind our husbands and supporting them, and that's what they need. And with that, we need to be willing to release him as crises arise. As leaders, crises will arise, and that can be difficult. I remember one night several years ago, Norm and I had planned to finally go out on a date, and I was so excited. We had a babysitter lined up. We were going to go out. About 5 o'clock, somebody stopped by our house, which we enjoy that. We open that. But that conversation went on, and it was way past supper time, and all of my inside, I don't know if you get this feeling in your chest, but I was trying to be patient and trying to be, I don't know what. And the evening went on, and needless to say, it was midnight. We actually ended up at the police station, and there went our date night. And that was really discouraging. And yet, it was important. We needed to do that with the staff. We needed to be willing and being open to do that. And there will be times. We know we did find another night later the next week to go out, and that was special. But being willing to let go when crises arise, and that is difficult, ladies, to do. And again, as I said, as frontline leaders, those crises, it's not if they arise, they will arise. We all work with people. And that's, I think for me, I've already told myself, you know what, if we'd never have problems, would we really be doing the Lord's work? Like, are we not a part of a spiritual battle? And it's just the work that we're involved in, and to be willing to fight the battle with the Lord on our side is a big help. Believing in our husbands, a biblical example for that, again, is Noah's wife. When you think of that bizarre story, there's never been rain, and here her husband is building this huge ark. I cannot imagine what his wife must have thought. We read the story about what the people in the community thought. But something stood behind Noah. Somebody was standing behind him. All we know about his wife is that she was on the ark, and they had three sons. And her sons were also on the ship. And I think that is just Noah's wife allowing her to be used to support her husband in her role. And it's important for us as ladies to do that as well. So Noah is the example for that one. Sharing our intuition. Intuition is hard to explain. I'm not sure what it is other than a gift from the Lord. I'm sure you all can look back and find times where you couldn't understand it, but you knew you needed to say yes or no to a certain situation. We've all faced with that. You don't know, but there's something inside of us that just tells us yes or no. And intuition is closely related to faith, which we find that verse in Hebrews 11:2, where it talks about faith as the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And through that, learning to trust without understanding or reasoning is so important to us as ladies. A story about intuition. We have a couple that comes up to Northern Youth Programs every summer, a pilot and his wife. They help us fly. And Norm was working with them earlier, before Christmas, to see if they can come up a little earlier just to do some work in the aviation department. His name is Dennis. Dennis felt from the Lord like, yes, this is the right thing to do. We need to go ahead. And he worked it out with his boss, and it was good. Sharon, his wife, felt it was the right thing to do, but she just could not say yes. There was something holding her back. It was a struggle. She couldn't understand, and Dennis couldn't understand what is the... It's all worked out. We've got a place to stay. My boss has let me off. The details were in order, but Sharon was hanging on to something and not knowing what it was. So we were just in the waiting time. We decided, you know, we're just going to let it sit for a month or two and see what comes up or how should we go ahead with this. About, I'm not exactly sure when it was, maybe 2 weeks into January, maybe a little later, Dennis's boss crashed in an airplane accident. I'm not sure if you've heard about the accident at Stolzfus Airfield in Ohio. Brian was the owner of where Dennis worked, and Dennis has been an important part of the business there. We don't know. But did the Lord give something to Sharon to say, hang on to this situation, don't run ahead, because we couldn't see the bigger picture. We had no idea Brian was going to crash and end his short life here on the earth. And Dennis is not able to come early because of the situation there. And it's just, it gives you a sense of peace that, you know, God does use us. And it's important that we listen to his call and to his voice, even if we don't understand. But learning to understand without reasoning is important for us to do. A biblical example for this is Ruth. We all know the story of Ruth. What inspired Ruth to return back to the land with her mother-in-law? What was that? She had no idea what was ahead for her in life. What inspired Ruth to go back? Meanwhile, it was her sister, right? Orpha? They were sisters? Her sister went back. What? Why did Naomi go on with her mother-in-law? We don't know. Something to think about. Moving on to the next one. Sharing our gifts. Each one of you ladies is blessed with a unique gift or talent from the Lord. It is something that is a part of us when we are born. I want you to think about those gifts and talents because we're going to talk about them in a little bit. We can use our gifts and talents to connect with our staff team. Even though we don't have a specific role or a job, this is a great way to interact and connect with those around you. Again, whether you're part of a staff team or if you're at home, wherever you are as ladies, this is a part of who you are. And I want to encourage you to think about your gifts and find ways that you can use your gifts to bless the women around you. One thing, I enjoy hospitality. I just love to have people over, and I enjoy doing that or being with people. And so it is important for me to fill that out and to use my gift from the Lord. But sometimes it gets me into trouble. At the end of the day, Norm, or Friday night, Norm is done with people. He's been in the office all week, and he wants to come home and rest. And I've been home with nobody all week, and I'm ready for a party. So making sure it fits in with both of you is an important thing to do as well. Not to just run ahead with it and do what works for you and your family. And that a biblical example for that is the Shunammite woman. I was going to write down if it was Elijah or Elisha. I think it was Elisha would come to her house and she would feed him. And one day she went and asked her husband, can we build an upper room for this man when he comes through? And that just really blessed my heart. You know, she took the time. She didn't just run ahead and quickly do it. She took the time, made sure it works with both of them, and then they went ahead and built the room. And so I think it's important to remember that a gift is a part of who we are. My gifts are different than my husband's gifts. But we need to learn to blend them together and make it work for both of us together. Like I mentioned, thinking about your gifts and talents, I'd like to open this up. What are your gifts, and what are some ways that you have used them to bless your staff team or the people that are interacting with you in your life? How have you used your gifts? So I'd like to hear from several of you what you have to share on that.
We are part of an urban mission, and so a lot of the staff that come in, they leave their families, they come into the city where the staff housing, there's no yards. We live in the city also, but we are blessed with a bigger yard. So one thing we love is campfires, and we'll often invite them over Sunday evenings for campfires, or play in our yard, or just to be able to have, and also sit around the table too. I think that's important for them. They don't have that family meal like they used to at home, and so to create that for them, let them come in. I enjoy hosting as well. Okay. So.
Good. That's a super important thing that I thought about but didn't really tie it in. But our staff team, we do have several singles. There's several families. This is kind of off the top of my head. I think there's around 10 families, and I'm going to guess 20 singles. And you're right. They have left their families. And for us to be open to open our home and allow them to come be a part of our family, that's such a joy. And it's a gift to them. You leave your family. They have left their family. Some of them have younger siblings. Some of them have maybe no siblings, or this is a fun time for them to interact with your families. That's super important. Somebody else, a way that you've used your gift to bless others. That's important to do.
Mm-hmm.
And you too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Our children are a gift from God, and we can use, they can be used to touch people's lives. We can share them with other people. And I was just thinking about the other Sunday, we went to visit an elderly lady that we connected with recently in our town. And she's a Christian lady. She's really energizing to be around. But anyway, we took 5 of our children that evening. And we have 2 younger ones, yeah. And it wasn't all, like, sit quiet. And I mean, they were... And she was like, oh, I just love the noise, she said. She had 6 children herself. And she said, I'm going to sleep better tonight because that was a blessing that our children could... Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, we try to make them sit still and quiet, right? They enjoy the noise. Yeah, so true. Good. Anybody else? Moving on to my final conclusion, and I'll open it for a question and answer time then. I have a quote that I found recently. I was at a ladies' retreat in Indiana. It says, God calls us to see the invisible and to do the impossible. God has not called us to do the things we can do. He has called you to do the things you will never be able to do outside of his power. Only he can do it through you. And that was a quote that I have hung on to. God calls us to see the invisible and to do what feels like the impossible. It feels like we want to give up and like we have no purpose or no goal to work on. We really do, even when it feels like we don't. And I've decided invisibility does not need to be an affliction on me, but it's a gift to help me to serve my husband and those that we work with. So I want to leave that with you. And like I said, it's been a journey. Some of the stuff I'm still learning and not knowing how to apply it all, but I think each one of us ladies on our journey needs to find out how it works where we are, where you are placed in your life. That is what I have to share. I'll open it up for a time for question and answers if you have any.
Could you repeat the invisibility as a gift?
The last part? Invisibility is not an infliction, but it is a gift to truly help me serve.
Back in the part where you talked about important things that ladies do that men can't, one point was influencing other women appropriately. I was just kind of wondering about what are the inappropriate ways to, so it's clarified what the appropriate
ways. That's a really good question. I think a lot of times, but I was thinking more about that, okay, staff meetings. Like, is it appropriate for Norm to sit in on a staff meeting with another single lady? Is it important for me to sit in there with him? I don't know, is that appropriate, inappropriate? Ladies will probably view that differently. And so I think it's important to know your staff and how they respond to that kind of stuff as well. So I don't necessarily have a list of things that are appropriate or inappropriate. That was one of the things I think about. And sometimes, like I shared, sometimes a lady just needs a shoulder to cry on. Well, Norm can't offer that to that lady. I don't feel like that's appropriate. Maybe with some, but I think in that situation, it's important that I'm at least present, available. There has been many staff ladies on our team that they do like to come and talk, and there's been several ladies where Norm has kind of been a father figure to them, and that has been a good thing for me to experience. And again, each one of us ladies are going to have to balance that out and how it affects you, and I think that's part of our life journey. Where I grew up was I kind of had a difficult relationship with my father, and so I connect with other ladies in those same shoes, and when Norm obviously is never going to be their dad, but he can offer them words and advice from a man that their father might not. And that might sound funny to some of you, but that has actually been a blessing to me. Like, that's how it's supposed to be. And so there is times where it is appropriate for women to come and share, but I do enjoy sitting in on that too, which I would do that.
I just wondered if you have any tips or any benefits for what to do, especially we have a couple of young children and your husband has to be away at a meeting or something. Is there any ideas that people have what to do with their children?
Good question. I'm going to open that up first to the group. Moms with young children and your husbands need to be away. What are some tips on how to deal with that?
Hang out with the other mom. I said that.
Mm-hmm.
Just last night, my husband was away, and
especially the oldest daughter, follows her. She likes to be there. And she's all about getting cards and fish. Let's give a gift for that. So we did that.
Uh-huh.
And so we kind of forgot that he was gone, and they were all excited for him to see the gift. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sweet. Anything else on that one?
Help your children plan for their bed.
That's true. That's good. Mm-hmm. Help your children pray for their daddy as he's gone.
Yeah, I think it's an important thing, you know, like they are involved in his ministry.
That's so true.
And there's a big thing that, mm-hmm, I mean, they can use any time, and they feel like they're a part of it.
I also think this is an area, again, where we as women, where our emotion can show this pretty quickly and wear off on our children. I've been there many times. And just learning to recognize the saying, if mommy ain't happy, nobody's happy. Oh, that's so true. It really is. And so I think a lot of it is in our attitude as well. We had many times where Norm was gone, you know, maybe for a night or two, maybe a week or two, and I'll promise you the times will change. Your children will grow up. but in that time, it is difficult. It really is.
Yeah.
But hang in there.
Yeah.
Any other advice on that one?
Play-Doh is always a good thing.
What was that?
Play-Doh is always a good thing.
Play-Doh is always a good thing. There you go. A lollipop helps too, right? Yeah, go ahead.
I try to remember. Okay, for me, it's easy to... My husband's gone, now I have more free evening time. Mm-hmm. I think projects and everything I can get done after the children are in bed.
Yes.
It just doesn't work out very well, especially since we have 5 children now. But if I keep my focus as, okay, so now I have extra time to invest in the children in the evening. And we'll do special things like have a slumber party and all sleep in the same room.
Mm-hmm.
Or my husband reads to the children aloud a lot in the evening. But I try to have them pick a book that they want me to read aloud. And sometimes it's funny things like Bernal's Attic or either books that Nick doesn't really enjoy,
mm-hmm,
but they do and I do. And so, yeah, so when Papa's gone, those are the things. Like, oh, yeah, we were in the middle of this book and we might not have touched it for 4 weeks.
Yeah.
But that's the book that I read to them.
Aw. Well, that's special. I can't remember who it was, but somebody else, I know their husband traveled a lot. It was for a short season of time, but I think he would read a story and record it on a CD. And so they could play it at night. And I thought that was a great idea. Oh. Any other questions? We've got about a few minutes left. Oh, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. A special meal that the children really like, and it's really simple. But it's not my husband's favorite
meal.
But that's
kind of
like our special meal for when
daddy's
gone.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of fun. It becomes more of a party than a sad thing, right? That's good. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, ladies. I will wrap this up, and I do want to encourage each one of you as you go through this journey. Like I mentioned, I'm not sure where you are. That's been part of my journey, is struggling of knowing how to find my spot when it feels like I don't have a spot. There really is a spot for you. You just have to dig and find and reach into it. And it might mean something completely different than what's been normal, and that's okay. It's important to be where God wants you to be. And if you're married, it's important that you are where your husband needs you, where he needs you both. So thank you for coming out. I'll turn the time back to Kristen.
This recording and many others are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. For more information, call 1-814-789-4769 or visit us online at www.christianlearning.org.